Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Circa. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. Made a couple bets yesterday.
Nice.
Like to hear it? Here it go. No, we'll get to it momentarily. on the show today, JVT joins us to talk NBA, college football, pro football. He's got it all. Get his thoughts on the latest college football bracket, the penultimate college football bracket, Kelly. It's a five-star word for you. Matt Cox, Matty Cox coming up from Three Man Weave. We'll talk a little college hoops, find out what he's betting. Most wins in the National Football League. We will discuss that as well, that market. And we got some Aaron Schatz. I buried the headline. Aaron Schatz with his quarterly appearance here on the show. Through the prism of DVOA, we'll talk with Aaron about a couple things. One, historical DVOA numbers for the teams of 2024. Where do the Lions rank all time? Where do they stand now after 12 games? Where do the 11-1 Chiefs stand in terms of worst 11-1 teams of all time? We'll do that. Where does the Ravens offense stack up all time? There's a whole bunch of that with DVOA. And then Jason Weingarten will join us. And yes, NFL power rankings, which I don't know about yours. Mine barely moved with one exception, of course. And you can guess the exception.
Yeah. There was not much movement in mine either. It was kind of funny as you and I both moved a team kind of dramatically, I guess I'd say. You wouldn't even be able to guess which team I had that I moved down.
Really?
It was one I got a little aggressive with last week. Then they took an L and I immediately slid back. I'm like, all right. I moved in from not ranked to number 10, I believe, and then dropped back out.
Trying to think who that was. Well, we'll find out later on the show.
Find out. Have to stick around.
All right. About
just an hour and 45 minutes from now.
Hey, it's plenty between now and then, including 2 hours of Yacht Rock talk. No, I'm kidding. Okay, let's start with college football real quick, though I would like to do that. College football, we talked about this yesterday on the show. I said, with a couple guests yesterday, we talked about both Will Hill and with Pete Futak, that Alabama's getting in this one way or the other, right? This is just how this stuff works. And that was the going theory. And so before they announced the bracket yesterday, I went ahead and I bet Alabama.
Yeah, good on you.
18-1 to win it all. So I have Georgia 5-1, which, by the way, you could still get Georgia at 5-1, and have Alabama at 18-1. They immediately after the announcement yesterday on ESPN that they were going to be in the 11th position in the bracket, that they immediately went down to about 13-1, 12-1. Now, by the way, that may sound smart, but if I had just done it a day earlier, I would have gotten way better than 18-1. So it's not that smart, right? But that was the going theory. That's why I bet Alabama.
How much longer was it a day before?
It was in the 20s.
Really?
I think it was 22-1 before I got there yesterday.
Wow, okay. I was staring at a 12-1 yesterday afternoon.
Oh,
wow,
well, okay. By the time they announced it, it was 12-1.
No, I'm saying even before.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Because I was considering.
BetMGM had 22-1 available earlier in the day yesterday alone. Okay. And I want to say it was 40-1 earlier in the week. Anyway, point being, or late last week, point being that now, so the way that it shakes out, you have Alabama, who they already called their shot. The committee called their shot last week by making Alabama just on the outside looking in, which was sort of their first salvo of, hey, anything happens here, you know who's getting in. So who? Let's talk about a few things. One, who deserves to be angry? Miami, obviously, on the outside looking in, deserves to be angry because they'll say, well, we have two losses, they have three. It's that simple. And then Ole Miss probably has the best case to be angry because if you look at the bigger common opponents, Georgia, remember Alabama almost had the epic collapse against. Ole Miss beat Georgia by 18. South Carolina, Alabama barely beats South Carolina. Ole Miss dominates them. I know LSU went the other way in terms of a common opponent. But so Ole Miss probably has the best case of being aggrieved here. What's more interesting to me than all of that is that we get to the ACC championship, right? We talked about this yesterday. This was the how we couched the Alabama thing. SMU and Clemson. SMU right now, considered one of the four best conference champions, or at least conference leaders at this moment. So they're third in the bracket. Eighth is their seed, right, in terms of the rankings. But they end up with the third position in the bracket because of the one of the four best conference champions stipulation. But if they lose, right, if they lose the conference championship, if they lose the ACC conference championship game to Clemson, herein lies the rub, right? So this was the scenario we painted out yesterday. If Clemson beats SMU, does the committee still put in Alabama? If SMU wins, we don't have a problem, right? Because Clemson's on the outside looking in as is. But if Clemson beats SMU, note that this doesn't apply to UNLV beating Boise State in the Mountain West, but specifically with this one, if Clemson beats SMU, does the committee bounce SMU out of the bracket entirely in favor of Alabama? And the calculus that we were talking about yesterday, the calculus I made in making the bet is, yes, they will. They will bounce SMU out for Alabama. Now, Chris Felica brought up an interesting point this morning, which is, I don't know if anybody has a tremendous problem with saying Alabama's a better football team than SMU, mm-hmm. right? I don't think that's a particularly controversial take. His point was an interesting one, which was, for the committee to have muted the controversy here, or to have gotten ahead of this, why didn't the committee, instead of making SMU the eighth seed, quote unquote, or the rankings have SMU eighth,
right,
and Alabama ranked below them, why didn't you just make it so that SMU is ranked below Alabama heading in to the ACC championship? Therefore, if SMU loses, you avoid what I was talking about yesterday, being the stipulation of conference championship game losses shouldn't hurt you.
Right, right.
And so if you do that heading into this week, you avoid that
controversy. You're basically telling everybody what's going to happen if they lose.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that was Felica's point. That wasn't mine. I think that is a good hack to that, to this controversy that will obviously occur if SMU loses to Clemson. The other way of putting this is, you can't create a system, right? Because they've already said teams that aren't playing this week, we don't have any more data points. They are where they are in terms of the pecking order. Okay. Championship games aren't supposed to hurt you. What you've created now by putting SMU 8th, Alabama 11th in the rankings, what you've created now is a situation where SMU's best checkmate play, not saying they're going to do this, but this was all over Twitter yesterday, SMU's best play is to forfeit the football game. To just come up with something where they're like, oh, sorry, we can't show up for this rash of the flu. We can't play, so no more data points. I guess we're in no matter, that's it, right? Now, I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying, theoretically, that's the checkmate move for SMU. So you can't have a system where going into the championship games, that's SMU's best play.
This is why I was asking you yesterday, because I've heard it a lot this week. Like, we're really getting to the language of a loss in the conference championship game is not gonna hurt you, right, or whatever it is.
Oh,
and I'm
about
like,
to hurt you.
It's gonna hurt you. I don't know why they keep bringing that up, because if it's like, it has to matter somewhat, and I agree it should matter somewhat.
It's about to hurt you if you lose SMU. Anyway, but the scenario where Alabama does not get in is if UNLV beats Boise State and Clemson wins both, like, that's maybe that's the checkmate for Alabama being on the outside. So I don't know. It's we'll get thoughts from JVT on all this, but that's what it's looking like right now, is that SMU better win their conference championship game. So congratulations, Mustangs, for getting to your conference championship games. The folks who are going to be watching you, they might be in a better position than you are right now. SMU remains a favorite over Clemson. And of course, there's a lot of people out there just saying, well, just beat them then. Yeah, but you get the idea.
Bama's still 16-1 up over at DraftKings.
Okay, there you go.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah,
get involved.
Yeah, maybe we had that book available. We could have that number too.
My records tell me I bet Georgia at some point at plus 650. So yeah. go Dogs.
We all bet Georgia at the same time.
Oh, did we?
Way early in the season.
I don't remember it at all. Okay, let's go Dogs.
The other bet I made, I also talked about yesterday, which I talked about the day before too, which is I went ahead and I bet Lamar Jackson MVP.
Yeah, I like it.
At 12-1 at MVP, BetMGM yesterday. 12-1, which was better than the plus 950 that we were quoting earlier in the week. And again, the thinking on this is, I like the Rams this week against the Bills. I think they have a puncher's chance for an outright upset. What that does for me is the real, you know, ding on Lamar Jackson's resume this year has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson. Singularly, it has to do with the Ravens' record. And you cleverly brought up Cleve T.A.'s parameters. For MVP winners in the past, they must be on teams that have X, Y, and Z. And one of the big stipulations was you can't have fewer than 11 wins in the end. So my thinking on the Lamar Jackson thing is, right now they have 5 losses, so they cannot lose twice more. They can only afford one more loss. I actually don't think they lose again. I think they go 4-0, but even then they have one chance based on the parameters. Here it is from Cleve. No MVP in the last seasons came from a team with less than 11 wins, that one in the middle there. Because and with Buffalo, the Buffalo part of this, Josh Allen's obviously the favorite. I think Buffalo has a chance to lose to the Rams. I think they may have one more loss coming
because
they got the Lions after that. And therefore, the 4 losses versus the 5 losses, that will no longer be a consideration. That's why I get to the Lamar Jackson bet.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. He's 29 touchdowns and 3 picks. If Lamar Jackson ends up with, let's say, 37 touchdown passes and 4 picks, and has better rushing yard stats than Josh Allen, you can't ignore 37-4.
Agreed.
You were going to say?
No, I was going to say, but we're leaving out the Saquon Barkley issue. So
it's not going to happen.
I agree with you. I didn't know there was 12-1 out there. I'll probably get to join you on
I
that.
I think the Saquon Barkley thing is noise. I think he is Offensive Player of the Year, and that's the end of that.
I think Josh Allen is the rightful favorite. I think he was most likely going to win. We're talking about betting odds, so at 12-1, I think there's enough enough room there for Lamar to get home because of everything you just broke down.
It's like the Genty.
I don't think Saquon's getting home.
Yeah, it's like the Genty thing. If it was 2-1, I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah,
but 12-1 in the case of Lamar. Yeah, thank you very much. JVT's thoughts on all the college football bracketology, and of course his plays in both college. I'm going to say he's going to be on UNLV. That's just a guess. Also the NBA and the NFL. JVT next, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. It's guaranteed perfection in every single bite, and right now you can save on unforgettable gifts with 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages featuring gourmet favorites from legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more. Save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Chris Heath, our buddy Chris, Gil's Sprinkle Me is one of his faves. Must mean he was at KMEL in 1996. That I was. Also, during the Megapod, when Vegas Runner used to say he was going to sprinkle some on the money line, we used to hit the E40.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
All the time. Chris Felica. Hey, Chris Felica, the bear. I may have missed it on A Numbers Game. First of all, he's lying. He didn't. But where's the love for Jerry Rafferty? Oh, he's got to be right there with Michael McDonald for the voice of Yacht Rock. Jerry Rafferty was, Baker Street?
Yeah, no, I'm Googling him right now. That was Jerry Rafferty.
Baker Street. That was his jam, I think. Yeah, it's not quite Michael McDonald, though. Jaime Leyva, I hope I'm not saying that incorrectly, wrote a song about it. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I said in the first segment. Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it go. That's right. David Alan Greer as a blues singer Calhoun Tubbs. Thank you for that. Brian M., the AP is located way too close to stores to drop UConn from the rankings. Also, I'd suggest the sea salts of Hawaii Maui onion salt for any meat. Matty Cox, referring to marinating, just brought that to mind.
Sea salts of Hawaii Maui onion salt. Well, I couldn't even get that out when I tried it the second time.
Jerry Bose.
Stuck in the Middle with You.
Stuck in the Middle with You?
Jerry Rafferty.
I don't know if I know that.
Song?
No, you're thinking of a different Stuck in the Middle with You.
Oh.
Yeah. Jerry Bose, it's about TV. They want the brand names like Alabama, Notre Dame. They will always bend over backwards to include the bigger names. That's exactly right. Let's see. Brosec, 1870. They already walked it back last night. To anyone saying SMU should just win, Alabama should have just won during the regular season. This is the same BS as last year to sneak Bama in. Agree completely. Thank you. Grayson Rossi, what was the record of home teams and the challenges yesterday? Matt started to say it on ANG, but never gave it out. We'll ask. We'll follow up on that. Las Vegas 514. Yo, correction for my guy, Maddie. UMBC is Baltimore County. Appreciate the love for PG County, though. I thought he said Maryland Eastern Shore, too, which also isn't PG County. So I'm not really sure which way it was going with PG County. Rick Olier just downloaded the new VEASAN app. When did you guys move away from the South Point? And then he says Benito Santiago. What does that mean? I have no idea. And Eric Berg watched American Nightmare on Gil's recommendation maybe a year ago. I continue to share it with people today. One of the more fascinating recent documentaries, still feel horrific for all involved. And Rink needs beer. Michael McDonald was all over the place. Chrissy Felica, he says, if you didn't have McDonald doing background vocals, you weren't trying. All right, we could read more, but we got to get to season win totals because it's time for season win total Wednesdays.
Are the guys looking over or under? It's another edition of Win Total Wednesday on A Numbers Game.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about all this, Kelly. Win totals, well, they're easy, right? But Morgan and Morgan, well, I should say win totals are hard. But Morgan and Morgan, they make everything easy. Hard, not at all. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan and Morgan. Morgan and Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan and Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan and Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or pound law, pound 529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. No season wins today. No win totals. Although win totals in a sort of creative way, mm-hmm. Who's going to end up with the best record in the National Football League? Most wins is what we like to call
it. Which we usually don't like these as much as the fewest wins. However, at this point in time in the NFL, it's actually kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting. I don't know. I think if there's a bet, this harkens back to something we were talking about the other day, where we were talking about number one seeds per conference, right? Right now, the most wins market, as you would imagine, because Detroit is 11-1 and Kansas City is 11-1, that they have the shortest odds, which they do. But I would advocate going with the Philadelphia Eagles, Kelly, at plus a 350. I liked them for number one seed in that market in the NFC. I just think their schedule is a mite easier than the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions and Chiefs are both at plus 190. The Eagles are at plus 350. There are longer numbers, right? Teams with two losses, like the Eagles, the Bills at plus 550, the Vikings with just two losses are 14-1. And then you've got three-loss Packers at 80-1, the three-loss Steelers at 150-1, and so on. I think the Eagles at plus 350, based on remaining schedule, is the best bet in this. Now, here's the thing. Would I actually make this bet? We talk about I just made a Lamar Jackson bet. I just made an Alabama bet. Would I actually make this bet? I don't know that plus 350 is sexy enough, but if you're asking me what's the best bet on the board in the most regular season wins market, that to me is it.
So this was interesting to me because you're right. We talked about AFC NFC one seed yesterday. Big difference is tiebreaker, right? Tiebreaker matters. One seed doesn't matter here. You're in the, we've talked a lot about this with most wins or fewest wins. You're going to get into potential dead heat rules, tiebreakers, all that type of stuff.
Which is no fun, by the way.
Yeah, no fun. So I think you got to think about things a little bit differently. I think the one I kept coming back to, well, two things. First of all, the Vikings, it's just, how many games we got to play before we give this team any respect? They only got two losses, and they're that much further down the board than all these other teams with two losses. I think Lions, I make the same comment I made about the Chiefs yesterday. I don't think they're going to be able to run pure through the end. Like, there's one or two losses, I think, on that schedule. They've just been cutting things too close here recently. And that is why Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are as good as they are, because they can win those tight games. But, man, I expect them to keep doing it week after week, I think, is a little much. So, I think Lions, when you look at the Lions still, with the record that they have, And you brought up the Bills-Rams situation this week, which I kind of believe I'm going to stay away from that game, but wouldn't shock me at all if the Rams ended up beating the Bills. So then the Bills face the Lions next week. If the Lions get past that, I think they're sitting in the driver's seat for this one. So I would go probably with the short shot Detroit Lions here in this market.
Yeah. Eagles to me, and the reason I go with the Eagles is because they're going to be favored in maybe every game, if not only one game at Washington. Maybe they won't be favored, and even that would be by a tick if they're not a favorite. So I think that's a 4-1 at worst stretch for the Eagles.
I'm with you there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is, the Lions would have to run pure for sure.
Yeah. Which brings us to another conversation. Can we talk about comeback player of the year for a second?
Oh, please.
We're allowed to do this.
I was going crazy on the break over this.
Oh, were you?
I haven't really looked at these odds recently.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But a thought occurred to us. By the way, again, here it is. The new rules from AP senior NFL writer Rob Motti. The spirit of the AP Comeback Player of the Year award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season. The decision to provide this guidance was made last December, but could not be implemented for the 2023 awards because the season was almost completed. Or as I like to say, mea culpa that Damar Hamlin didn't get Comeback Player of the Year.
Yep.
So here are your odds for Comeback Player of the Year. And I am curious if you believe that any of these players are a lock. Let's start with the short shot. The short shot is Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Joe Burrow's having a spectacular year. Joe Burrow has been in this league, what is it? Is this his fifth year? His fifth year in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. He got the Comeback Player of the Year in 2021. He won the award. Are they really going to give Joe Burrow a second Comeback Player of the Year award in five NFL seasons?
I hadn't really thought about it that
way
before.
It's ridiculous.
I hadn't really thought about it. I don't know that that should matter, but will it?
Shouldn't it, though? Like, oh, you can just keep getting Comeback Player of the Year? It's completely illogical.
It's a season. I mean, it's a season by season thing, right? With the language that we just read, it's looking back to a year ago.
Every year you get hurt and then you perform well, you could still keep getting comeback.
Yeah, like in theory, every other year, right? Every other year you could in theory win it because you have to be hurt for a season.
Who do you think would actually win it if it was voted on today? Burrow,
because I think it's a way to get. I think it is. They'll also look at it. Voters will look at it as a way to award Joe Burrow without having to consider MVP or Offensive Player of the Year.
I am starting to feel like Damar Hamlin might win this year.
Really?
Yeah.
If he does this, the whole thing we thought was broken last year, if he wins it this year, it's completely broken. They just got to get rid of this.
Because I don't think there's a clear other person. And I wonder if that Burrow giving it to him twice in 5 years thing will matter to some.
I think the other one I think that should be there is Kirk Cousins. But, I mean, if he keeps sucking, if he's hurt, which I think he is, might be an issue.
You know what would be great if we had an actual Comeback Player of the Year voter on the show? Hey, why don't we have Aaron Schatz on after the break? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. We're grateful every morning that you choose to make us part of your day. We appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke will get all his thoughts on things. Maybe even talk to him about Comeback Player of the Year.
We need a claw machine update, too.
We need a claw machine update.
Haven't heard much about that recently.
And then Kelly and I update our NFL power rankings a little later on the show. That's very exciting. I'm very excited.
A lot of blue on mine. A lot of just that,
lot
the blue
of
line.
A lot of blue on mine, too. A lot of blue. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Tom K. SMU should forfeit the championship game. They are not taking ACC money and would stay rated higher than Alabama. Outsmart the committee looking to get Bama in. Tom, it's exactly what I said, segment one.
Thank God we fixed college football, because we're talking about teams just forfeiting games. Great.
Trip Tepper, Kelly was correct. Jerry Rafferty was in the band Steelers Wheel, who recorded Stuck in the Middle. Rafferty then left the band to launch his short but successful solo career.
Was that correct?
I don't know. He's still no Michael McDonald for Yacht Rock. That's the
All I can tell you is during the break, I was like, I like when Gil perfectly nails the mistake I make, because I didn't know if the song was him or not. And Gil was like, no, you're thinking of another song. I'm like, I bet you're right.
Ryan Hyatt, the A&G Yacht Rock discussions may rival sushi places this month. And yes, Jerry Rafferty would be Yacht Rock Hall of Fame first ballot on Baker Street and Right Down the Line alone. Where have you gone? Great saxophone solos. Enjoy the show. Jerry, I love Jerry Rafferty. Who doesn't love Baker Street? But he's not a Yacht Rock Hall of Famer. Stop it.
I cannot wait to take you to Yachtly Crew. We're going to have so much fun. Buying you a captain's hat and everything.
3JackH3131. Stop me if you've heard this before. Damar Hamlin died on the field and is now playing again. That's all I got to say.
It was a year ago.
Oh, Tom from Pittsburgh. I have forgot to watch this last night. He says, after watching the first episode of Hard Knocks, AFC North, my main takeaway was that this show will make it obvious why Mike Tomlin will win his first Coach of the Year award.
Ooh, interesting.
All right.
That is something new this year. You know, you never know how things like that might influence.
That's right. And the numbers, guys, regarding DVOA, what does the status of Detroit's injury-riddled defense do to their future projections? Well, it would be wonderful if we had the creator of DVOA on with us right now. And we do. Ladies and gentlemen, for his quarter poll appearance on the show today, he is kind enough to come on a numbers game every quarter of the NFL season. And at the end of the regular season, it's the creator of DVOA. He's now at FTN Sports, the great Aaron Schatz, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. You have Detroit through 12 games, not you, but through the prism of DVOA. You have, and by the way, DVOA, for those who don't know, defense adjusted value over average, calculating a team's success based on the down and distance of each play during the season, then calculates how much or more or less successful each team is compared to the league average. You have the Detroit Lions, this year's Detroit Lions, as the, let's figure it out, third, sixth, seventh best team of all time through 12 games.
Yeah, they're really good. And that does not adjust for the fact that they've lost a bunch of defenders. But the thing is, so it's hard to tell what that means, because as they lose defenders over the last few weeks, their defense has gotten better.
Hmm. Yes.
So at a certain point, they're going to reach like a critical mass of losing guys. But I don't know when that point is. So it's hard to adjust. It's really hard to adjust for losing players other than quarterbacks, because every individual player doesn't mean that much. The problem is when you lose so many of them, it's a cascade of them.
Like the San Francisco 49ers, for instance, from this year. It should be noted that the six teams that Aaron has, or the DVOA has better through 12 games since the 1979 season, all got to the Super Bowl. All at least got to the Super Bowl.
No, no. The 2018 Chiefs did not.
Oh, that's right. They lost in the AFC Championship to the Patriots. Yeah. That's right. Patriots beat the Rams 13-3 after beating the Chiefs in overtime, if I'm not mistaken, in the championship game. That's right. Okay, so one exception to that for you Detroit Lions fans. You also have a couple other historical quirks that are fascinating through 12 or 13 games of the NFL season. One, through 13 games, you have the Ravens offense. I think this always trips people out because on your standings, you know, in your NFL standings, the Baltimore Ravens have lost 5 football games. Can't be that good, right? Well, offensively, you have them historically good.
I mean, overall, I have them really good. I have them as the best 8-5 team we've ever measured. And offensively, they're 8th. And if you think it's weird for an 8-5 team to be 8th, a 7-6 team is 4th, which is the 2002 Chiefs with Priest Holmes and Trent Green and Tony Gonzalez. So this year's Baltimore's offense has just been fantastically efficient, and they've lost games due to defense and special teams and penalties, and the penalties are not necessarily predictive. I mean, look at this last game where they lost despite the fact that they only had like 3 penalties.
Baltimore's offense, the 8th best team through the prism of DVOA since 1979. And then here's the one that we alluded to last time, or we talked about last time you were on, which has continued. The Kansas City Chiefs are 11-1. You've done this. You've gone all the way back to 1979. So it's not the history of the NFL, but it's a long way back, right? We're talking 45 years back. You have the Chiefs at 11-1 as the second worst 11-1 team since you've been doing this since 1979.
Yes. They won their last game the dumbest way possible. Like, it really is, like, they just stood there and watched the Raiders screw up and the Chiefs didn't do anything, right? Because even if they don't recover that fumble, the game is over either way. So, the Chiefs are really low. The 2012 Falcons are the only 11-1 team that's lower. In fact, if you look at point differential, which is simpler than DVOA, the Chiefs are the worst 11-1 team in NFL history. DVOA actually likes them a little bit more than that because they've played a hard schedule this year. But we keep saying, like, how do they keep doing this? And yes, like, I do believe the Chiefs are going to play better when we get to the playoffs. But are they going to play better enough to beat the Bills and maybe the Ravens and whoever else they have to play? Like, I don't know, because at this point, their defense has declined a lot since how well it was playing early in the year, and the offense hasn't picked it up to make up the difference.
Yeah, so two questions. One, remind me about the 2012 Falcons, who were 11-1 and worse than this team. I don't even remember that team.
Good offense, bad defense. I believe they lost in the divisional round. Matt Ryan offense, Tony Gonzalez again. Yeah.
Okay, so the predictive part of this is what is fascinating to us as bettors, because, you know, it is interesting. So going through all this, It follows then, okay, Chiefs perhaps very vulnerable then in a postseason situation, Lions perhaps better than the eye test reveals, though there are the injuries. Let me just ask it this way. Is Patrick Mahomes, have you found when the Chiefs have been rated through DVOA through the years, does he sort of serve as a hack to all of this? Like, he's so unbelievably Superman-ish that while all of these numbers are correct, he can just put on his cape and just crush it all.
The problem is that will be true until the year it's not true.
Right.
Right. Yeah. The two examples I keep bringing up are the 1990 49ers and the 2005 Patriots. The 1990 49ers are more similar to the Chiefs because they also started by winning a bunch of games, but not playing that well. Well, I mean, playing well, but not as good as a 10-0 team. And they lost in the NFC Championship game when Montana got hurt. And then the 2005 Patriots, I remember very well because it was the early days of me being in the football commentary world. And everybody said, well, the Patriots are only the 7th or 8th team in the regular season, but it doesn't matter because Belichick and Brady have an extra gear in the playoffs, and they will turn it on and they will win a third straight championship. And instead, they went to Denver and lost. Like, there were no magic beans. There was no extra gear. There was an extra gear until the year there just wasn't. And so the same is kind of true for the Chiefs. Like, they're not out of it. They're a contender. I do think they're better than this. I think their defense, you know, Spagnuolo is really good at game planning in the playoffs. It's supposed to get Hollywood Brown back at the end of the season. They'll be better than this. But they're not playing like one of the top four or five teams in the league.
And the same logic I would assume then applies in reverse to Lamar Jackson, right? And the Ravens, which is, oh, he'll always be a playoff, you know, failure until that year where he's not. And you're like, well, yeah, but the number said this should have happened all along.
Right. Like Peyton Manning or in other sports, Barry Bonds or Jason Tatum. Like, they're players who have a history of playing bad in the playoffs until the year where they don't, where they play fine.
That's right. People forget that about Barry Bonds. Until 2002, he was considered a playoff bust, and then he started hitting balls that still haven't come down starting in 2002. The other thing that's interesting with DVOA, and we'll get to your awards thoughts on the other side, but real quick, biggest offensive improvements since week 6, Dolphins. Biggest offensive declines, Seattle and Atlanta. Biggest defensive improvements since week 6, Philly. Biggest defensive decline since week 6, Minnesota. All of that is very fascinating.
And it's interesting, by the way, that the Seattle defense has improved at the same time that their offense has declined, and that's how they've stayed in the NFC West race.
Wow. And that's not what we would have expected with a coach like Mike McDonald necessarily.
Well, you would have expected their defense to have been better early in the season.
Yes.
But I think we all believe Geno Smith is a good quarterback at this point. So you don't expect their offense to be as bad as it's been the last few weeks. But the running game has been non-existent.
Offensive improvement. Best in the NFL since week 6 of the Seattle Seahawks. All right. Well, we come back with Aaron. He is also one of the 50 awards voters, AP, for all the AP awards, MVP all the way to comeback player of the year and everything in between. We'll get his thoughts, at least to the extent that he is willing to share. We will not pin him down to a vote, but get his thoughts as one of 50 bettors. I'll do the math, Kelly. That's 2% of all bettors. Whoa. Aaron Schatz, we have it right here on the show. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We'll get to your tweets here coming up, but we want to get to more with Aaron Schatz. By the way, don't forget about Sewell's Barbecue Sauce, Southern Hospitality. Never tasted so good. If you're ready to elevate your tailgate game, you got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From ribs and wings to a backyard burger, Sewell's takes every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's S-E-W-E-L-L-S, BBQsauce.com. Oh, sounds good.
We got to move this read up earlier in the show. It's making me hungry.
We're no, I think we should move it later so that we can eat immediately.
Oh, okay. I got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Because right now.
Go enjoy some barbecue at 9:10 in the morning.
Aaron Schatz, kind enough to join us again. He's at FTN Sports. He's the creator of DVOA, was the founder of Football Outsiders back in the day, a pioneer in football analytics, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. By the way, Aaron, if folks want to get all your stuff, where do they go?
The website is FTNFantasy.com. The DVOA stuff is at ftnfantasy.com/DVOA. But you want to be a subscriber to also get access to our stats hub with all the charting data and all of our DFS optimizer stuff and our betting pick. The DFS optimizer now has a whole thing that simulates contests to tell you which lineups are most likely to place high, even if they're not necessarily the lineups with the most possible points. Interesting.
Okay, I like that.
One of my favorite sites to shop different props, to find props at different books. What's going to be the best number for you? FTN does a great job with that.
Aaron made the right choice, man. Made the right choice. Real quick, Yacht Rock, we were having a Jerry Rafferty debate. You say not a Yacht Rocker.
No, because the Yacht Rock guys are primarily L.A. guys, L.A. session musicians, and he's from England.
There we go. Glad we put that to rest. It's like we brought Marshall McLuhan from behind the curtain. Marshall, what do you think about these people? Okay, before we get into the award talk, what I didn't do when we're going through the historical numbers is actually look at your DVOA top 10 from this year, which, silly me, we should have started with. And it reveals fascinating stuff. Now, obviously, Detroit, because we talked about them historically, they're going to be number one. But I would like to just seize on a few things. One, by the way, Lions, Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Packers, Vikings. No real surprises, top six. The Chiefs are not in the top 10 at all. Maybe we could have guessed that from our previous discussion. Seventh, the Cardinals. Eighth, the Chargers. Ninth, the Broncos. Talk to us about the Cardinals. Why are they seventh?
First of all, I'll say the Cardinals have an easier schedule than the rest of the NFC West going forward. So they're very likely to win that division. They are a B- in everything except passing, where they're an A. Like, their defense, with name someone on their defense other than Buda Baker, you probably can't. And yet they've been like the 13th best defense, and they've been like the 13th best running game. So they don't really have any weaknesses this year. Their only real strength is Kyler Murray.
They have been my most consistent betting winner all year, the Cardinals.
You've bet them like 4 weeks in a row, it feels like.
Always. But I would not have put them seventh, but this sort of corroborates them numerically. And the Broncos in ninth, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, Knicks has played better in recent weeks. And, of course, their defense and special teams are top five this year.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way. The Chiefs are the third AFC West team.
Yes. We have
Isn't that wild? That's wild, right?
That's wild.
Who's dead last, by the way, Aaron?
The Patriots are dead last right now, pretty much neck and neck with the Cleveland Browns, but the Browns have been much better since Winston became the quarterback.
For those who all these years said that Aaron was a New England Patriots homer, He's got him 32nd. By the way, did I see a tweet from you, Aaron, where people were like accusing you of something?
Yeah, they thought that I was making the Chiefs look bad on purpose.
Yes.
And I was like, what's my motivation?
Like, how dare you?
My motivation is to be as correct as possible, right? Like, why would I want to make a team look worse than they are? I want to be as accurate as possible. That's my motivation.
Fan bases are the best. That's great. So rational. Okay. MVP. You're one of 50 who votes on this stuff. Right now, what are you thinking, to the extent you're willing to share your thoughts with us?
All right. There's two questions here. The one is the Barkley question, and then the other is which quarterback you go with. If you're going to call it most valuable player, it can't be a running back. I'm sorry. Plus, Saquon Barkley has played like the easiest schedule of any running back in the league. If they wanted to change the award and tell us it's for the best player at his position, then you could consider it. But if it's the most valuable player, it has to be a quarterback. My stats have Lamar Jackson far ahead of Josh Allen. I know there are other stats that have them more neck and neck. I do worry that we've entered this world where the narrative takes over the award because of the betting line moving. And we all just sort of assume that because the media says that player X will win, we all vote for the same guy. And I think I'm going to be in a position this year where I may be the only person who votes for Lamar Jackson when everyone else votes for Josh Allen, the exact opposite.
Just thinking that
the exact opposite of last year. Yeah.
By the way, I'm willing to have Allen pass Jackson over the last 5 weeks. Like, it's not set in stone.
It's not set in stone. And Aaron and I did not have this conversation. I bet Lamar Jackson yesterday at 12-1, Aaron, because I thought that number is ridiculous for the reasons you're saying. The stats just don't bear this out at the current betting numbers. They're not reflective at all. We'll see. A lot of football still to be played. Okay, let's go to Coach of the Year. Is there any way to even have any, you know, solid thinking on this?
Nah, man, this one is so hard. I think Dan Campbell is currently the best odds, which is interesting because that's not a team that's quote-unquote turned it around. But if we all felt Dan Campbell was a great coach in the past and he's got the best team this year, then he's still a great coach. I mean, the same is true of Andy Reid, Andy Reid's odds aren't great, but you've got to give him a little credit for the Chiefs pulling out all those close wins. I think there's a lot of people like Tomlin for what he's done with the Steelers this year. I think O'Connell's a good candidate. It's Sean Payton. It's a really hard award to pick. It's a hard award to pick and a hard award to pick.
This is honestly like somebody could win with like 8 votes.
Yeah,
it's splintered at this point.
Yeah, and Aaron, is it so hard because there's so many good cases? Is that how you view it? Or
yeah, and it's been like that for a couple of years, right? Like, if you look at the Coach of the Year odds, I can make a really good case for the top 6 guys on that list, but probably also for McDermott and Andy. Like, there's some good cases to be made, and it's really hard to figure out who to vote for, and then it's really hard if you're outside to figure out who we are voting for when there's 50 of us. And
right,
you know, we vote 3 guys in a ranked choice, and I don't know who's going to.
Well said. Hard enough to vote on, hard enough for us to figure out who those guys are going to vote on. And the 6 names that Aaron is referring to, Campbell, O'Connell, Tomlin, Payton, Harbaugh, and Quinn, and he added McDermott, which I'm glad he did. I brought this up the other day, and Andy Reid. Again, those records could be gaudy at the end. Okay, Jaden versus Nix. Where do you stand for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I think I lean Jaden at this point. I think Brock Bowers does deserve some discussion because Rookie of the Year, unlike MVP, is more about how good you are compared to your position. But Nix is catching up, so we'll see what happens in the last 5 weeks.
He is catching up. He is catching up for sure. Okay, what about the ones that you feel are the most set in stone? Is Jared Verse the Defensive Rookie of the Year? Is TJ Watt the Defensive Player of the Year? Where do you stand on those?
I think Quinyon Mitchell and Verse are the 2 choices for Rookie of the Year on defense. I think that Watt is the leader for defensive player of the year at this point. I think Barkley is clearly the leader for offensive player of the year.
Yeah, he's the most solidified based on your voting for a quarterback for MVP. Then it follows that Barkley would be the lock for offensive player.
Yeah, and we have Derrick Henry with more rushing value than Barkley because of opponent strength, but Barkley has receiving value.
Barkley has, say the last part, Barkley has what?
Receiving value.
Receiving value, gotcha. Plus, he could break the all-time record for yards. I mean, that's still on the table as well, you know, schedule or not. Okay. And then there's the hardest one of them all, and I'm sorry to close with this, but I have to. What are you doing with comeback player of the year? We just had a brief discussion about it, and I was like, can Joe Burrow really win this twice in 5 years as a pro? Is that allowed? Where do you stand? Well,
didn't Chad Pennington?
Did he? Did Chad Pennington? I think he did.
So, I mean,
Let me check.
The hard question, as Mike Kinnear keeps pointing out to me, is what do you do with DeMar Hamlin having his comeback year 2 years afterwards instead of 1 year afterwards? Do you consider that? Or are we only thinking about how much he came back from last year, not what he's coming back from 2022? But I think it's going to go to one of the quarterbacks that was injured last year, like Burrow or Curry, probably one of those.
Yeah, I brought this
because
up.
Not Cousins,
you said.
No, not at this
point. Yeah, I brought the DeMar Hamlin thing up with you last time, if you recall. You were like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Chad Pennington, 2006 and 2008. I did not remember that at all.
We probably don't have enough time for this, but Aaron, how many games do you have to be injured for to be considered? Because Herbert's on the odds board.
That's a great question, and I think the answer is a few. And that's not a number.
It's not a number.
It's a few.
Let me check on that. Is a few a number? Let's get on that. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it as always. So great.
Yeah, FTNFantasy.com. Check it out, guys.
Aaron Schatz at A Schatz NFL, S-C-H-A-T-Z on the Twitter machine. Coming back with Jason Weingarten next.